Are you ready to hear what God has to say to us today? Amen. Who are we learning about today?
Jesus.
Who are we learning about today?
Jesus.
Who do we want to be like today?
Jesus.
Who do we want to love like?
Jesus.
Amen. You guys are awesome. You're getting it. Today I'm preaching on a subject called Show Me a Sign. Show Me a Sign. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. Mark chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had arrived, they came and started to argue with him, testing him. They demanded that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. When he heard this, he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, so he went like, oh, come on. Can somebody do a good sigh? Like, ah, girls, you can do this. You do this really good. Yeah, that's it. That's better. When he heard this, he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? So what Jesus is saying here is this is not the first time somebody came up to him and demanded a sign. He was just getting tired. Remember his sermon last week? He turned 7 biscuits and fed 4,000 people with them, and there were 7 boxes left. That was a miraculous sign. They didn't believe it. It wasn't enough. Actually, when Jesus would perform his greatest miracles, Pharisees, Jewish people of that day, religious people of that day, would come to him and demand a little extra. Yeah, that's all great that the lame is walking. That's all great, Jesus, that the blind see. It's all great that the man who was crippled for 38 years now is walking. It's okay that a woman who had 7 demons in her, Mary Magdalene, is free from them and now she's normal. She used to be a psycho. It's okay that a man who had a legion in him, who used to hit his head against the stones, who used to break out of chains. He was so crazy he would break out of chains, guys. It's okay. Show us something else. Show us something bigger. We want to see fire come down from heaven. If you're real, why don't you show us who you are? And so Jesus just got tired of listening after he'd been performing countless miracles, Bible says. People would still not believe in him and demand a sign. Do you know somebody like that in your life? Maybe it's you. Doesn't matter what God does in your life. You still want to see something bigger. You still want to see a great sign to prove that he's real. I know people who've been healed from cancer and they walked away from God and saying, well, that just happened. That was the doctors. You could have been dead. And Jesus healed you. And now you say, well, I don't know if he's real. What do you mean you don't know he's real? Well, you're going to find out. So Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth. I will not give this generation any such sign. So he got back into his boat and left them. And he crossed to the other side of the lake. These 3 verses. Today, we're talking about asking God for a sign. The first question I want to answer, does God still give signs today? Number 2, is it okay to ask God for a sign? Number 3, should we be following signs? Those are the 3 answers I want to give in this topic. So imagine this. Jesus just performed one of the greatest miracles, feeding 4,000 people with 7 pieces of bread. Everybody was amazed. And here come these Pharisees demanding a sign. Okay? Show us a sign. The thing is that wherever Jesus went, you didn't have to ask him for a sign. Would you? Jesus would automatically perform signs. So when Jesus crossed the lake or Sea of Galilee or whatever you want to call it, he was there to perform miracles. He was there to preach, teach, cast out demons, raise the dead, heal the blind, the deaf, the mute. He was there to already perform the signs. He was there on a mission. Remember, Jesus never went somewhere where Holy Spirit didn't lead him. He came to the other side to do something great in the lives of people on the other side of the lake, whatever that was. But notice, because of these people demanding a sign, he sighed deeply, told him, I'm not going to give you a sign. turns around and leaves him. The worst thing that could happen in the life of a person is that you come encounter with Jesus and he turns around and leaves you by yourself. They were demanding a sign when he came there to do signs and wonders, and he left them. Why would he do that? I imagine today, if I came up to the president, well, let's say it's not me because I don't want to be in this illustration. If somebody came up to a president and said, "President, I don't think you have real authority. You don't have real power. You're just a peg. You're nothing. You don't have real power." And he says, "Yes, I do." And you would say, "Well, show it to me. Why don't you nuke North Korea? Just prove it to me that you have power. You know, just come on." If you were the president, what would you do? You would sigh deeply. "Get out of my office." Right? That's what happens here. The king of the universe came to meet with these people, just like he would come to meet with you. You will, in your life, you will have many visitations of Jesus. That's a guarantee. Every human being will have an encounter with Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ. How will you respond to that encounter? You will either say, "Prove yourself to me," or you will say, "I trust you, I believe in you," and he will perform what he needs to perform in your life without even you asking. This is the king of the world. He has all the power. In today's world, people would say something like this: "If you are real God, why don't you strike me with your mighty fist? See, I'm still alive. There is no God." Right? In the movie, Bruce Almighty, how many of you have seen that movie? He gets so angry, he says, "Smite me, Almighty Smiter." Right? Come on! And God is so big. He's so, if a child would say, parents, how many of you had your child, maybe older kids, not younger kids, would say, "Why did you even give me birth? If you won't let me go out with him, just kill me now." What do we do, parents? Do we say, I made you and I'm going to take you out and just make another one just exactly like you? No, we don't do that. We're like, "You don't know what you're saying." That's how God looks at people who say, "Show me a sign if you're real." God said in his word, "I have shown you so many signs throughout your life that I'm real, that I, no matter what I do, if you have a hard heart, if you think you're the smartest guy," this new atheist movement going on right now, some of these guys, and not all of them, but some of them, just want to act like they're the smartest people in the world. And usually they're the ones who are sitting in their underwear in the basement of their mom's house and typing how smart they are. Really, they haven't achieved much in life. They haven't done anything. But in their head, they're the smartest people in the world. And they're the ones who start coming up with these weird excuses. Really, it's just rebellion. Anywhere you look, if you open your heart, you know there is a God. Last week, I read a study that said that when people look at Grand Canyon, or they look at waterfalls, what is that, Niagara Falls? When I look at the beauty of like tropics of Florida, in my heart cries out, there is God. There's a study that proves when we look at nature, something in our spirit comes alive and it says there is God. In Romans chapter 1, Paul writes that all creation demonstrates to us that there is a God. Where did we come from? Who created us? The theory of evolution is being disproved from left and right these days. They're trying to come up with new theories to prove there is no God. Something created us. Sometimes I think of people and I'm like, how did we get here? We're just animals. Then why don't animals come up with like TV screens or computer screens? Why don't they create something? Because Bible says that we, humanity, we were made in the image of God. You don't have to look far to know that there is God. Your heart, it's written on the programming of your mind that there is a God. Bible says this, that he has created you and he has put eternity in your heart. So naturally, you know that there is a God. So when you come to him and say, "Prove to me more that you are God," look at the DNA. That will tell you there is a God. Look at the stars. It will tell you there is a God. Look at the creation. It will tell you there is a God. Not unless you harden your heart and you say, "I still choose not to believe. Give me one more sign." So my question today is, Is it okay to ask God for signs and wonders? And my answer to you today is depends on your motive. In the Bible, we see a case for both. Did you know in the Bible, people did ask God for a sign, and they got it. But then in the Bible also, Jesus were asked to give a sign to these Pharisees, and he rejected them. In another scripture, it says that he calls them names. He calls them, you adulterous and perverse generation. You seek a sign, and the sign will not be given to you, except the sign of Jonah, the prophet. Just like Jonah the prophet was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be crucified and dead for 3 days and will rise again. And that's going to be a sign for you. But guess what? Even if you see it, you won't believe it because your heart is hardened. Because your heart, because you closed up, because you're just following your mind. All you're saying, I'm just going to look at the intellect. There's more to you than your intellect. There's still your heart. There's your spirit. You're bigger than your mind. You're bigger than that. So is it okay to ask God for signs and wonders? It depends on what your motive is. Some ask for signs to glorify God and to know His will. Then it's okay to ask God for a sign. Others ask for a sign to mock God. And in the case of our scripture today, the Pharisees were looking not to believe in Him, but to mock Him. Amen? So let me break this down. When asking for a sign to mock God, I want to give you four ways people ask God for a sign that they're not really seeking for God. They're just seeking to prove that He doesn't exist. Okay? Number one, when asking God for a sign that mocks Him, when people look to disbelieve, they will ask God for a sign. I read one atheist said, I don't believe in God, and if He's real, why don't He come to me? And He knows my heart, so He knows what will make me believe in Him. So why don't He perform that? And then I'll believe. And God says, this generation seeks a sign, and a sign will not be given to you. You don't come to a creator of the world, and you say, I want you to be a clown, a show pony. Why don't you do so many tricks? A trick pony, right? Is that the expression? A trick pony. You do so many tricks, then I'll believe. And the tricks have to be what I would be impressed with. Bible says that they came to God tempting Him or testing Him, tempting Him. And Bible says, do not tempt the Lord your God. I want to show you what stands behind that. What behind that is Lucifer, Satan himself. When Jesus was fasting 40 days in the wilderness, do you remember what happened? Satan came to Him and said, what? If you are the Son of God, show me a sign. Turn this stone into bread. And Jesus said, do not tempt the Lord your God. So some people ask for a sign because they're powered by the demonic. It's Satan. It's satanic. Show me a sign. God can show you any sign He wants to. But guess what? He chooses not to be a trick pony. He chooses to, even when He does signs, have you noticed they're not like abracadabra, watch, boom. No. Jesus says to the lepers, 10 lepers, they were like, Jesus, heal us. And He says, go show yourself to the priest. And as they were walking on the way to see priests, what happened? They were healed. So imagine this. You're walking, eating an apple. Whoa, no leprosy. Notice God doesn't like to show off because we show off out of pride, right? God is not a show off. And so when you tell Him, prove to me that you are rich. God is like, I'm not going to do that. Imagine if you came to a rich person and said, prove to me that you're rich. Show me your bank account. What would they say? We're not friends anymore. Go find another friend, right? But what if He said, I will prove it to you. Here, $100,000. And then you'll be like, show off. Yeah. Right? God is not a show off, number one. And God is not moved by pride. It doesn't matter what you think of Him. It doesn't matter how you dare Him, truth or dare, God, I dare you to do this. He's not moved by that. The only thing that God is moved by is our faith. For without faith, it is, come on, speak with me, impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Oh, I feel the presence of God. You want God to prove Himself in your life? Believe in Him. You want God to walk away from you? Tell him, show me a sign. But Pastor, I thought God is the God of signs and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. We sing some of those songs. Well, what about it? Yeah, but notice he chooses his timing and his way to perform miracles, not my timing or my way. God, if you're real, see that airplane flying? I want to see it, black smoke coming out of it. But all those people might die. Well, but prove to me you're real. God is like, stupid, get out of my face. You know, sometimes we just, if you're real, God, let this light blinker. God is like, other people will not like it, so I won't do it. Why would I do it? Besides, I won't act on your stupidity. Hopefully you'll grow up. When asking God for a sign to mock God, it's not okay to ask for a sign when you disbelieve in Him and you're looking for a way to reject Him. It's not. Number two, some seek signs because the last 10 was not enough. It doesn't matter how many signs God would show you, you would say, show me one more for me to believe. And really, you're just like Pharaoh. One sign wasn't enough. The locust wasn't enough, so he had to ask for hail. The hail wasn't enough, so he had to ask for blood in the water. The blood in the water wasn't enough. The snakes wasn't enough. The rod turning into snake wasn't enough. The snake eating the snakes of the false prophets wasn't enough. So more and more signs till God showed him a sign where the firstborn in Egypt died. And guess what? That wasn't enough. Because the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. And then he lets people of Israel go out of slavery, out of bondage. And then he gets so angry, he still think it was a coincidence. You know, some of us are so intellectual, it's a coincidence. Your firstborn died. It's not a coincidence. It's God. Don't mess with him. Just let him go. So he gathers a huge army and chases Israel. And watch this. The sea parts. And Pharaoh sees that. What more do you need? Have you ever seen the sea part? In the movies, yeah, but... We see all kinds of signs and wonders in the movies, don't we? And so the sea parts, and he's like, well, go after them. And I wonder if there was a wise advisor to Pharaoh who said, didn't you have enough signs already? Would you just please let them go through? Just let's leave them alone? His heart is so hardened that where he sees a sign, he rejects God. So listen to me. When somebody comes to you and says, prove to me there is a God, walk away, turn to your back and say, I can't. Maybe you need to give a testimony and say, you know, this is, you know, what God did in my life. Look at the sun, look at the nature, you'll see there's God. Read the Bible. But if they still keep seeking, after 10 signs is not enough, walk away. You can't. A person's heart is hardened. Whatever you say, they won't listen to you. Now, when you are tempted to show a sign, in my life as a pastor, people would come up to me and say, if your God is real, show me a sign. Why don't you heal somebody? And what you want to do in that moment, your pride comes up and you want to say, let me tell you what I've seen and what God has done through me. That's what you want to do. Because I have seen people healed. If I start telling you what I've seen through the last 10 years of me being a pastor, you would be shocked. But if you already chose in your heart not to believe, you will say it's a coincidence. You will say, I don't believe you. It worked for you, but it's not real. You will come up with some kind of excuse. So what I learned is that we will be tempted to prove there is a God. And it's a temptation. And what you need to do is just back away and walk away. Jesus didn't show Satan how stones are turned into bread. He just said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You can say, you shall not tempt his servant. Because you are his servants, right? You will not tempt his servant. See, the thing is, God does do signs and wonders, but He does it on His timing. He does it in His way. Bible says that signs and wonders will follow those who believe. But you can't come to Him and say, I want to see something magical now, or I'm done with you. He will not go on, you know, maybe somebody, your friend will say, if you dare me, I'll do it. I have to. I just cannot resist the dare. God can easily resist your dares. Okay, number two. So what is number one? You're looking for a reason to disbelieve. You're looking for excuse not to believe. Number two is the last 10 signs was not enough. So you're looking for one more. You're kind of in the same boat. I'm just not interested in believing. I like my life. And if I give my life to Christ, you think it's going to be boring. If I truly surrender my life to Christ, It'll be boring, so I'll just wait it out. 100 signs. I'm still waiting up for that one big one, you know? God is like, come on. So you're just not interested in following Christ. You love the world, and you don't want God to tell you what to do. In that case, you made yourself a God. I am sovereign over my life. And then when problems come, oh, where was God? Where was God? You were God. You couldn't control that? You couldn't stop that? See, sometimes we make ourselves God. And then when we are powerless, because we are powerless in situations, we don't control our life. We have some control, but not, there's things beyond our control. And then we start acting like, where is God? Well, if you are God, you own God, and we were created in the image of God, so we love being gods. I like to be in control of my money. I hate it when Bible says that the money that I made is His. I hate it. I really still do. I'm a pastor and I do. I always have to submit my will to His will because I want to be God. And don't blame me. I was made in the image of God. What do you expect? Right? You do too. You want to be God until something happens beyond your control. And then you say, oh, you realize I'm not in charge. I'm not in control. And then you have a choice. You excuse it and you say it's a coincidence, or you surrender and you say, God, you are in control. I'm not. Take my life. Do as you please. Use me. Use my life for big, for small. I don't care. Did you know that Moses was in the same situation? When God showed up and appeared to Moses in a burning bush, Moses asked for a sign and God showed him a sign. He asked for another sign and God showed him another and another and another. And after so many signs, Bible says that the anger of God burned. Let's Exodus 4:13 and 14. But Moses again pleaded. So this is after pleading and pleading and pleading and God showing him signs. He again pleaded with the Lord. Lord, please send anyone else. And listen to this. Next one. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. That's it. Up to here. Bible says that Moses asked for signs. And God says, it's enough. I'm not going to show you anymore. 10 is enough. Number 3. Some seek signs because they are thrill seekers. Luke 23:8. Herod was delighted at the opportunity to see Jesus because he has heard about him and had been hoping for a long time to see him perform a miracle. Jesus was brought in chains before Herod, and Herod, he doesn't want to believe. He doesn't want to accept Christ. He doesn't want to listen. He doesn't want to analyze what Christ had to say. He just wants to see a sign. Oh, goody, goody. And if some of you have seen some Christian movies where Jesus is brought before Herod, Herod is played by this sleazy dude, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to see a sign. He's just like, I ain't giving you a sign. Some people seek a sign because they're thrill seekers. Some Jewish people followed Jesus not because they believed in him, but because they wanted to see signs. And they saw signs, but those weren't enough to convince them. Are you seeking for Jesus or are you seeking a sign? 4, some seek signs to exalt themselves. This is where it's not okay. It mocks God. Some seek signs to exalt themselves. Some say, God, you know what? I'm going to lay hands on the sick. And if you don't heal them, I'm done with you. God, how come you don't do miracles today? This happened to Simon, the sorcerer in the Bible. He came to the apostles and he saw them perform miracles and heal the sick. And he came to them and said, and brought a whole bunch of money and says, give me the power to do this. I want to perform miracles. I want to perform signs and wonders. And Peter says, you fool, take your money with you to hell, he said. You tried to buy a gift of God for money? He says, you have no part in this. Seeking signs because he wanted to be great. God will not give you signs. I used to be there. Some of you used to be there. When I first became a Christian, I was all into signs and wonders. And signs do not save anybody, people. Signs don't have power to save. You know what has power to save? The gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it has the power unto salvation for those two who believe. Signs are secondary, and signs by themselves don't have the power to save. It's the good news that God loves you and He sent His Son to pay for your sins. That is what's going to save you. I used to be the one who I wanted to perform miracles. so I can glorify God. But really, I was so full of pride and arrogance. I wanted to be a big shot. I wanted to people to say, look at him. He's really somebody. Young preachers, young people, be careful. Because when you come to God that way, he'll go like this. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. He won't do what you want. But then there was time. And I'm not going to brag. And I'm not going to, because you didn't provoke me to say this. So I'm going to say it. I was praying here. We had a fast. I don't know how many days, like 15-day fast or 20-day fast. And we were praying. Every day we would meet at church just to support one another, you know. And the crowd would get smaller and smaller and smaller. And you'd know those who didn't show up broke the fast. And it's okay, but just, you know, at the end of the 15 or whatever days, there was like only a few people coming to the daily services. Pastor Iva, she was here, just in the back right now. You can ask her if this is true or not. Her daughter, something happened to her head, Michelle, actually. You know Michelle, some of you who've been going here for a while. She started bleeding from her ears, and out of nowhere, something happened. Her head, she would just get horrible headaches, and they brought Michelle and said she has to see a doctor. She already saw one, and they did a scan, and there was like black spots on her head, like tumors or something. I don't know what it was. And I was like, okay. And here, I'm weak. I'm fasting. I just have no energy. And I'm wondering if it's really working. You know how when you're fasting, the devil comes to you and says, it doesn't work. And so you're discouraged and you're hungry and you want to eat anything. You want to drink like a little bit of Diet Coke or just a little bit. And Pastor Iva comes and says, Pastor Alex, can you come and pray for Michelle? I had no faith. Honest truth. No faith at all. So I come up and I pray. After I prayed, I sat down and I was embarrassed because the prayer was lame. I mean, it was like, I was hungry, people. I had no energy to pray. You know, usually you'd be like, in the name of Jesus, be healed. This was like, oh, God, just heal her, whatever. I didn't believe my own prayer, honest. I didn't believe my own prayer. I had no faith. I prayed, I sat down, and I was like, oh, you call yourself a pastor. Can't even pray. Next day, she goes to the doctor again. I know, to see what more they can do. She goes to the doctor. Next day, we're here again praying. You know, just Pastor Iva runs through those doors yelling. Ah! Ah! She's like, I just got a call from Michelle. You can ask her. And she said, Pastor Alex, to tell you, the doctor said exactly the same words you did when you were in prayer. They're not going to find anything. And they said, we didn't find anything. We're shocked. What happened? We didn't find anything. Totally healed. I've asked her years later. Have you had? I wanted to prove to myself, is this real? It was real. She's still alive. She had no surgeries. There's no black spots on her brain. They found nothing. I had no faith. It wasn't me. Now, when I pray for people, I try to humble myself as low as I can because I know I can't. I have no power in these hands. You have no power in you. It's what's coming through you. It's the power that lives in you. It's the Christ that lives in you, that He was the one who's going to show up. Bible says, these signs shall follow those who believe. So signs are secondary. The Word of God is first importance. Next week, we're going to discuss this more because there's more to say. Because I haven't even got to the point where when we can ask for signs. Because there's in the Bible when we can ask for signs. Because in the end of time, God will show up signs. And we must understand them. We must decipher them. So we're going to go into that. Today I just want to tell you that if you're a follower of Jesus, I don't care what the devil tells you, he's on your side. He's going to show himself with signs and wonders, but don't look for them. Look to him. Don't follow the sign. Don't seek the sign. Don't seek the experiences. Follow Christ. And he will show off mightily in your life. I don't care what the devil says. God is for you and not against you. God is with you. His angels are surrounding you and protecting you. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So believe that He's with you at all times. Believe that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Believe that He's for you. And if God is for me, who could be against me? I don't need to tempt God to show me a sign.